sponsor for the Gordon Law School in Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and editorial review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and editorial review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on raw milk right after this. You know, in 1787, the writers of our Constitution put in this clause at Article 1, Section 10. It says, no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Now, that clause follows the biblical injunction on just weights and balances that we see in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Private business is carried on in gold and silver coin. It's public business that is connected and conducted in commercial paper. Commercial paper, things like stocks and bonds and Federal Reserve notes and credit cards and debt and usury. Now, back in 1965, Congress said that there's no difference in the value of a gold or silver coin and the clad coins or currency. And you know that's very true when you're dealing with banks, government, and commercial industries. But out here in the real world, in the real marketplace, there's a 7-to-1 difference in the purchasing power. And there's a 7-to-1 difference in the taxes that are due on that paper money. Now, God and our founding fathers didn't give us gold and silver coin for no good purpose. They knew that as a matter of law, gold and silver coin is absolutely necessary for us to deal in order for us to establish our property rights. Well, neither did our Congress and politicians take that gold and silver coin away from us for no good reason either. Those politicians all knew, and they knew full well back in 1933, that in order for them to subjugate a free people, they would first have to take away their gold and silver coin in order to take away the people's right to own property and to destroy those property rights. So if we intend to retain or regain our rights, duties, and capacities, then we must first regain our property and property rights. And that's because property is the legal foundation of all of our liberties. So let me show you how to do just that in our business school, which is now on compact disc for adult home school. Now, if you'd like more information about our private business school, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's informative, it's entertaining, it's educational. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that same general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about the Real Milk update. Real Milk is a web page which deals with raw milk. Now, about 1% of the milk consumed in the United States of America is raw milk. 1%. 99% of the milk in the country is pasteurized and or homogenized. And it wasn't an accident. It's done that way intentionally. And it's done that way for a reason. The reason was very sound, very logical reason. The commercial milk back in the 1890s was contaminated. It was very, very risky to drink raw milk because it was dirty raw milk. And dirty raw milk is a convector of disease. Now, we know that. So a choice needed to be made. What do we do about this dirty raw milk? And the answer was pasteurizing. That's the conclusion that the health departments and health officials and others came up with. Now, they didn't ban raw milk. They just began to pasteurize milk. So from the 1890s until about 1945 or 6, people had a choice. You want raw milk? There it is. You want pasteurized milk? There it is. So when I was a kid growing up, there was two colors of tabs. In the neck of the bottle, you know, they used to have milk bottles, you know, rather than the jugs. You bought it by the quart, and they had blue for raw milk and red for pasteurized. And that worked fine until, finally, the milk industry, that is the big boys, they got into it by lobbying, and they got the news media into it, and they started a campaign against raw milk. And it's now banned in almost all the states. The commercial sale of raw milk is banned in almost all the states. There are a couple of states that are exceptions. Georgia's one, California's two, and maybe one or two others. But primarily, most of the states will allow you to buy raw milk, but you got to buy. You got to go out of your way. You got to go to the dairy. You got to own a cow, or you got to be buying the milk for pet food in order to get raw milk to take home and drink it yourself. So there's ways around it. And the people that are in the know, of course, buy all the raw milk that they want, and the people that aren't, they don't. And they don't know where to buy it. And it's about as rare, raw milk. 1% of the people in the country drink it. Now listen to this. 12% of our population is into health foods. So about 12 people out of 100 know what the benefits of raw milk are. The other 88% don't have a clue. And it works this way with vaccinations. About 12% of the people in the country are into raw foods, health, nutrition, and are knowledgeable about vaccination. And so they avoid vaccinations. The other 88% haven't got a clue as to what the problem with vaccinations are. They recognize that vaccinations are good. They've read the propaganda. They listen to their doctors and their teachers in public school, and they're familiar with vaccinations, but they don't really know the other side of the story. And that's been my complaint in life, is that, you know, we're not getting both sides of the story. The government tells us their side. Vaccinations are good for you. That's all you need to know. So now shut up. Fold your hands and ride the bus. And I come along on the scene and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm not sure that that's necessarily true. It may be. But whether or not it's true, there's another side to the story. So let's put out both sides to the story and then let people decide for themselves whether or not they want to be vaccinated or want to vaccinate their children. Government does not want you to know both sides of the story. Industry doesn't want you to know both sides to the story. So anytime that I look at a contract and I see fine print, I say to myself, well, that's pretty logical. Whoever it is that wrote this contract does not want me to read what that fine print says. Otherwise, they would have wrote it in great big bold type so that I couldn't miss it. So when you see a piece of paper and it's got great big headlines and bold type, that's what they want you to read. Can't miss it. What they don't want you to read, they put in very fine print so that you can't read it. It's a requirement that it be on the document or it wouldn't be on the document at all. This is why when you go to the grocery store, you don't see the product listed or labeled with MSG. There's about 8 or 10 other terms, like natural flavoring is a euphemism for MSG. So you'll see on the label natural flavoring, but not MSG, because many people are alerted to the fact that MSG is bad for you. So the manufacturers who put the MSG into your food, they don't want you to read MSG because a large portion of the population knows what that means. So they use other euphemisms like natural flavorings. Well, that sounds real good. I'd like to have something with natural flavoring. I just don't want the MSG. So you buy the product and you're buying the MSG under a different label. And it's the politician in the legislature or in your Congress that allows that. It's not ignorance that's going on here. There's no ignorance concerning pasteurized milk. And as I read these articles, the advocates for raw milk and raw milk safety say, well, you see, our bureaucrats and our doctors, they're just ignorant. They are not just ignorant. They're lying hypocrites. Now, that's the best you can say for them without using the four-letter expletives deleted. Now, that being the case, there's got to be an agenda. What's the agenda? What's the purpose behind it? When we start to look at the agenda and the purpose behind it, we find out that the people that are advocating pasteurized milk are making money off of it, and they're killing you in the process. Because now, while the raw milk, the dirty raw milk, was bad for you and causing you infectious disease, the alleged clean pasteurized milk is causing you more deaths, more agony, more suffering, and more people die from it through degenerative disease than died from the dirty raw milk. So the truth of the matter is, we were really better off drinking the dirty raw milk and dying of infectious disease than we are drinking the clean pasteurized milk and dying from cancer, heart attack, and stroke. But of course, now there's no direct connecting link. You haven't been told about the direct connecting link. Now, we all know what it is. It's been in the literature for years. And the people who are promoting pasteurized milk know that it causes heart attack and stroke. And they know it causes diabetes. And they know it causes a whole host and plethora of other diseases. And they don't tell you about that. And that's the agenda. Because the American Medical Association makes money off of sick people. Sick people spend money on doctors. I haven't been to a doctor for so long that if my local doctor here, if the people in this county ate like I eat, and if they were as healthy as I am, the doctor in this county would starve to death. He wouldn't make enough money over here in this county. If the people in this county all drank raw milk and ate a biblical or scriptural diet, they would starve to death. There wouldn't be any need for doctors. So there's an agenda, and everybody that's subscribing to the agenda is making money off of it, the legislatures and the businesses, the doctors. And because they're making money off of it, they want to keep the status quo right where it's at. They don't want it changed. Now, I'm not an advocate for raw milk. I drink raw milk. I think raw milk is good for you. But I'm not an advocate coming on the air saying, geez, I want to get you switched over to raw milk. I really don't care. My thing in life doesn't have anything to do with convincing you that I'm right and you're wrong and you ought to change. My thing in life is I think everybody's entitled to both sides of the story. And then I have confidence that you, in your own self-interest, will do what you need to do for yourself. And if you make the wrong choice, that's okay by me. That's what freedom's all about. Freedom is the capacity to make the wrong decision and pay the penalty for it. You want to be a sodomite? I don't care. But there's a penalty that you have to pay. And you ought to be aware as to what the penalty is. And then you make the decision. Now, when we talk about raw milk safety, no website about raw milk would be complete without a discussion of bacteria, both good and bad. And that's the key point. Not all bacteria are bad characters. Not all bacteria are bad for you. Now, the news is full of salmonella and E. coli outbreaks these days. No food seems to be immune. What is generally swept under the rug in discussions about raw milk, however, is the protection which is given to that raw milk by lactic acid-producing bacteria that are normally present in the milk. In what microbiologists call the principle of competitive exclusion, non-pathogenic bacteria like, say, Lactobacillus acidophilus can actually limit or kill the bugs like Campylobacter, responsible for the sale of lots of anti-diarrheal medicine. Now, it seems lactic acid is really hard on the bugs that can make us sick if their numbers get too high. Now, that's a nice system. But make no mistake, any food can be contaminated, and it usually boils down to how it was produced, handled, and packaged. Certainly, low-quality raw milk in the mid-1800s, contaminated with tuberculosis, had its unwanted share of the limelight. Lots of variation exists in each of these areas, and besides, not many foods have built-in lactic acid producers policing the neighborhood. Now, let's take the pasteurization process, for instance. While pasteurization certainly destroys bacteria, it destroys both the good and the bad bacteria, and thus reduces the potential for infection. But it is far from flawless. Pasteurized milk still sickens people, and in far greater numbers than the more heavily regulated raw product. The real question ought to be, how are pathogens getting anywhere near cows to begin with? How are the cows getting E. coli and salmonella? Where does it come from? Well, the Swedes have practically eliminated salmonella from their herds in Sweden. At one dairy, which feeds organic grass to their cows, even the manure is pathogen-free. Raw milk from cows fed diets heavy in grain, soybeans, and cottonseed meal apparently cannot effectively protect itself from pathogenic infection, and everyone agrees that it must be pasteurized. Now, there's where the problem begins. Let me put a bracket right around that paragraph. Here's where your problem begins. In Sweden, the government now has a different agenda than we have here in the United States. So in Sweden, the law requires that the herds of cows there be fed a diet that is conducive to producing clean milk, and that's grass. Now, remember the story the other day I told you? Back in 1804, they started feeding, it really got started big in 1812 when the War of 1812 occurred here in the United States. They started taking the waste from the distilleries and feeding it to the cows. Now, it is true that the cows will eat it. In fact, today they feed cows, listen to this, they feed milk cows, grain, soybeans, and cottonseed meal. Well, what is cottonseed meal? It's the waste byproduct from the manufacture of cottonseed oil. It's a byproduct. It's a waste. So what are we going to do with this waste? Well, we got to pay money to have it disposed of. Or we could take this waste cottonseed meal and we could mix it in with feed and feed it to the cows, which would increase the protein that we need to give the cows, which means that they'll give more milk. Ah, that's a very logical solution. Unfortunately, when you do that, you're feeding these cows a byproduct or a food that's bad for the cows. It's conducive to producing E. coli and salmonella in the cow's gut. And then if that E. coli or that salmonella gets, or lactobacilli, whatever you call it there, then all of a sudden, if it gets into the milk or gets into the meat, then we become contaminated. Today we have the same problem that we had back in the days of the distilleries, back in the 19th century. We're feeding the cows bad feed, which develops into bad bacteria, which then, when we drink the milk, it gives us a disease. Same problem we had in the 1900s, back in the 1800s. All right, so the solution to this then is to, let's do what the winners do. Now, the Swedes took a look at it and they said, it's the bad feed. You feed cows bypass protein, they get mad cow disease. Let's stop feeding them bypass protein. Not in America. Not in this country. When it came out that the problem with feeding cows bypass protein was feeding the cows. That is, when you butcher cows, you have what's called offal. And so it's a byproduct that has to be disposed of. I mean, it's the guts, it's the nasties, you know, that come out of the meat processing plant. And so what are we going to do with it? Well, here's what we'll do. We'll take this and we'll grind it all up, dry it all out. And they test it and say, my God, the protein content's 24%. Now, no cow would walk up to a pile of rotting meat and eat it. So what they do is they take this pile of rotting meat and they dry it out, grind it up, and then put it in with the cow feed. They put it in with ground up corn, ground up wheat, ground up cottonseed cakes and meal, and the cow will eat it. And when the cow eats it, she gets more protein, and she therefore makes more milk. And after all, that's what the dairyman's interested in. He gets paid for gallons of milk, and that's what he wants, is more gallons of milk. He's not getting paid for quality. Now, the raw milk guy, he goes out to the dairyman and says, sell me raw milk. And the dairyman says, if I have to produce milk the natural, old-fashioned way, by feeding my cows grass, organic grass at that, I can't produce that milk for $4 a gallon. I've got to have $10 a gallon for that milk, or $12 or $14 a gallon. So milk, raw milk in this country sells from anywhere from $6 to $16 a gallon. It's the range that I've seen recently. And I can tell you as a dairyman myself, that's exactly correct. I had a guy here the other day, and he said, well, will you sell me milk? And I just had a couple of strippers milking, and I said, well, I really don't have a lot. When I have fresh cows, I sell it for $6. Right now, I got to have 10. When I told this guy I want $10 a gallon, he thought he was going to choke. $10 a gallon. He got kind of angry about that. And he thought, well, hell, you're trying to gouge me. And I got to tell you, boys and girls, that hell, I can't produce milk for $6 a gallon in the wintertime feeding my cows organic feeds. See, I got to be careful that when I'm buying feed at the feed store that I'm not buying corn, because the corn in this country is 60% contaminated with growth hormones or with I'm trying to think of the word here now. I'm thinking MSG. It isn't MSG. It's M something or other. And what they're doing here is they're breeding the corn, and they're violating Leviticus 19:19. GMOs is what they call it, GMOs, genetically modified organisms is the word I'm trying to get out. And so to avoid that, I can't use soybeans and I can't use corn, and that's what's in almost all the dairy feeds. So I have to go to alfalfa pellets. And so the alfalfa pellets cost me more than the corn, by about three times more. So normal guys would go out and buy corn to get the cow to go in the stanchion. You got to give them a little grain. And so I use alfalfa pellets. Now I can use oats. In fact, I feed oats to my chickens. And to show you how bad it is, if you give your chickens oats and they're unsprouted, your chickens will drop by about 50% on their egg production. That's right. You get half as many eggs on oats as you do on corn or on mash. But the mash has the bad feed in it again. So if we want to get away from this bad feed, then I got to feed them the good feed. The good feed costs more. Therefore, we got to spend more money. If you want good, organic, raw milk, it's $10 a gallon. And I can do it for $6 in the summertime when the cows are on grass, because I'm not feeding them any feed. When I'm buying hay and it costs me, you know, $180 a ton, and then, you know, cows eat 35 pounds a day, you know, you start adding that up, you know, and pretty soon, you know, you see it starts to cost you some money. Now, the dairyman, he's over here, he doesn't really care about what kind of feed he's feeding those cows. He doesn't get paid because of the quality of his milk. He gets paid for the gallons of milk, and so he's out there to produce as many gallons as he can. So if he gets some chemical from Monsanto that'll make his cows give more milk, that's what he's going to feed them. That's what the economics dictate. Now, heating milk renders it less capable of defense against subsequent infection. And with the destruction of its tiny bacterial lactic acid factories and other heat-sensitive antimicrobial substances, it can no longer protect itself as well. Now, milk protects itself. It has a natural antibiotic in it. Now, we dairymen, we feed antibiotics in the feed to our cows. So as an organic man, I have to be careful about the feed that I feed my cows. And there's not much in the way of dairy feed which promotes higher protein, which produces higher milk per cow, without the commercial feeds, which have all of the bad feeds in them. And so the bad feed is what we have to avoid. So I'm out here competing with dairymen that are using bad, cheap feed, and then I have to buy expensive, good feed. And then you people out there want me to produce milk at the same price as the guy that produces milk with the bad feed. Now that's what your problem is. Now people want cheap food. And that's natural. That's the economics of the thing. But the cheap food produces disease, which is why you need health insurance. So Americans today are about to vote in the socialists who are going to give them the health care, the health insurance that they want. Now, what we're talking about in this country is not socialized medicine. It's health insurance. So the Democratic candidates have come up with this plan. It really amounts to taxpayer-supported public health initiative. In Great Britain, you people call it socialized medicine over there. Well, we're opposed to socialized medicine in this country, so what we have to do is we have to relabel the product. So we've relabeled it. We call it health care insurance, national health care insurance. It amounts to the same thing that you people have in Canada and England, but we're just sensitive here in this country, and we're not going to call it socialized medicine here. And we do the same thing with our food supply. We want this cheap food. We want to save money, so we eat cheap food, which gives us expensive diseases which cost a lot of money to deal with, and so therefore we need health insurance. Health insurance now costs about $11,000-$12,000 a year. I don't buy any health insurance at all. I drink raw milk. It costs less to drink raw milk than it does to buy health insurance. It's just that simple. So I drink raw milk for the economics of it. Now if I was buying it and I could buy it for $10 or $15 a gallon, I would rather buy it than I would to produce it myself. And that's because to have your own cow ties you down to milking that cow once or twice a day. And my cows give so much milk, I only milk them once a day, so they give half as much. If you want twice as much milk, you milk them twice a day. Some commercial dairies milk their cows three times a day, because the more times you milk them, the bag is empty. The empty bag signals the cow, fill it up. So when the cow's empty, just after milking, she produces milk twice as fast as she does as the bag gets half full. A half full bag of milk does not stimulate the cow to make milk as rapidly as when it's empty. And so pretty soon, the cow, when the bag gets full, she stops making milk because the bag is already full. And so the dairyman, he's no dummy, he says, oh, cows produce more milk when their bags are empty. We need to keep the bag empty more of the time or with less milk in it, so the cow produces more milk. So the more often you milk her, the more milk the cow gives. The less often you milk her, then the less cow, or the less milk the cow gives. All right, so dairymen want to produce as much milk as possible because that's what they get paid for. They don't get paid very much per gallon, but they produce lots of gallons. And a producer like me, I don't produce very many gallons, but the milk that I produce is top quality milk. And so get used to the fact, boys and girls, that you take the $12,000 that you're paying on health insurance. Now, go to the dairy and pay the guy $10 or $15 a gallon for the milk and then figure, well, how many gallons of milk do I use here? And you can just about eliminate health insurance by using clean raw milk. Now, if you got dirty raw milk, you got a bad problem, which is why I'm really cautious about the whole subject matter of drinking somebody else's milk. I don't mind drinking my milk because I produce it and I know what my cows are eating. Now, most of you people, when you think of clean or dirty milk, you're thinking of flies floating in the top of the milk. Let me tell you, flies floating in the top of the milk pail is no problem to your health at all, because in the raw milk, there is the lactobacillus, which is killing any harmful pathogens that are coming off of that fly into the milk. You people have confused stainless steel and cleanliness. I think you got your heads up the wrong end. You can milk that cow out in the barn in a plastic bucket with no stainless steel available and produce clean, whole, raw milk, which is the way people have been producing clean, whole, raw milk for thousands of years without any stainless steel. I know when I went to egg school, they emphasized this glass pipeline and stainless steel and bulk tanks, and boy, we're going to produce clean milk. Here's what clean milk is. Clean milk is milk that is free from the E. coli and the salmonella to start with, and that's where the Swedes shine. You see, the Swedes over here came to a conclusion. They said, we want clean milk. We got to feed the cows clean feed. So they give them organic grass, and they don't feed them any cottonseed soybean meal. They don't feed them any MSG. They're not feeding the cows GMOs, bypass protein, and so on down the line. If you feed that cow correctly, the way God intended, you will have a clean milk. And if any bacteria gets into the milk, then the natural bacteria in the milk will kill the bad bacteria. But if you're producing milk, then the milk itself is dirty. That is, the milk itself is lacking in the natural antibiotic because you fed the cow bad feed. Now you got something that's as bad or worse than the pasteurized product that you're now buying today. So I want to emphasize that, because oftentimes people will say, if they're vegetarians, all meat is bad. And if they're meat eaters, all meat is good. The truth of the matter is, and you get this right from your creator himself, some meat is good, some meat is bad. Do not eat unclean meat. And the same thing is true with milk. Some milk is good, some milk is bad. Do not drink bad milk. And pasteurizing bad milk does not clean it up. And producing bad raw milk does not clean it up because it's raw. And so when I talk to people, they say, well, I'm drinking raw milk, which doesn't tell me anything. I'm not drinking pasteurized milk. That's good. You got your head screwed on straight. But the mere fact that you're drinking raw milk does not mean that the raw milk is good for you. Now, that's an important point. Just because you're eating meat doesn't mean the meat's good for you. And you can be eating beef produced in a factory that has stainless steel countertops, and it's just full of E. coli, because the cow's gut's full of E. coli because they're feeding bypass protein to the cow. And you're getting a hell of a lot more disease off of the meat than you are the milk. Remember, I reported this to you the other day. Of all of the foodborne disease in America, only 1% comes from milk, whether it is pasteurized or raw. Only 1% of foodborne illness comes from milk. 38% of it comes from meat. Tainted meat. That's where your big problem is. Hey, I'm running over time, and I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law. From the scriptural perspective, that's 8 schools in all. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. And we do that 7 days a week. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. They're free of charge, and the number to call is 417-273-4967. Remember, they're free, and the number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate, and that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour, they may be, not necessarily so, but they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear in this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call the Law School Director, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, here we go again, talking about raw milk update. I want to give you the name and number here of Acres USA. They published the article, Raw Milk Update, in the December 2007 edition of Acres USA. You can get a copy of it if you want. They want $5 for the single copy. It's $27 a year to subscribe, 12 issues. $37 a year if you're overseas. I think it's well worth the money. Acres USA, hell, it's nearly 100 pages, isn't it? 100 pages a month coming out? Yeah, it's 100 pages. How much is 100? 1,200 pages for $27. Isn't that about... 2.5 cents a page or something like that, 2 cents a page. I don't think you can get a better buy. This deals with agriculture, and I can't think of a better business to be in than food and famine. Food and famine. And famine's coming here to the United States. Now, just mark my words, pay attention. All these ethanol plants that are going in here, this is a carefully orchestrated program, by the way, which is going to ultimately fulfill Bible prophecy in what's known as the Great Tribulation. And the higher food prices that you're beginning to see, the outsourcing and offshoring of our food productive capacity, the fact that we're importing half the food that we consume here in the United States is coming from outside our borders. You talk about a national security problem. I think it's insane. And the only thing I can say is probably good for Walmart. Hell, it's probably good for Archer Daniels Midland. It's probably good for the politicians that vote for these policies. But for Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife on the streets of Brooklyn, New York, I think it's insane. So for those of you that are listening, if you can produce food, or if you can learn how, food is going to be in short supply shortly. And there's just nothing better than to get in on the ground floor of a business like food production in a famine. Now, Americans have never seen a shortage of food in this country. We saw it in World War II to a limited degree. We did have rationing. There's no hunger. There's no starvation. There's certain foods you couldn't get. And I think that it'd be well worth your time, effort, and energy to learn how. Now, Acres USA is one of those sources that you need to learn how. The law school here is another one. We teach class on subsistence and survival and how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. And you can make more than $100,000 a year if you want to. Anyway, Acres USA, here's their name and number. The number is 512-892-4400. That's 512-892-4400. Why don't you give them a call and tell them that you want the December 2007 issue of Acres USA. All right, we are reviewing the subject matter, raw milk update. And I'm citing here from realmilk.com. There's another article I just gave you here called www.raw-milk-facts.com. So it's called Raw Milk Facts, but they've got a hyphen between the raw, the milk, and the facts. That was another good article there. Now, if you just get on the internet and do a Google search and you're looking for raw milk, then you're going to get a lot of information. Those of you that are interested in real milk comes from real cows. The source of most commercial milk is the modern Holstein, bred to produce huge quantities of milk, three times as much as the old-fashioned cow. She needs special feed and antibiotics to keep her well. Her milk contains high levels of growth hormone from her pituitary gland. Even when she is spared the indignities of genetically engineered bovine growth hormone to push her to the utter limits of her milk production. Now, please note here that farmers who produce excellent real milk using older lines of Holsteins and Holstein crosses, it is the modern commercial Holstein bred only for quantity, not quality, and pumped full of hormones and antibiotics that should be avoided. So know your supplier and ask questions. There's an old adage. I got it from my granny. she'd pour a little milk out of a bottle, and she said, "Well, this is nothing but that damn Blue John." Expletive included. Damn Blue John, she'd call it. Well, Blue John, that's the bluish cast that you see in the milk. And Holsteins have a thin milk, thin watery milk. Now, when God designed cows, he does, you know, when he designed sheep, horses, and cows, he said, when he got through, he said, and it's good. The modern dairy breeds that we use today, those are not old line breeds of cows. And if we went back to survival of the fittest, the dairy cow would be the first cow to succumb to the real world. So let me tell you a little story here about cows. The Jersey cows, Guernsey cows, and Holstein cows come from three islands in the Channel Islands, called the Isle of Guernsey, the Isle of Holstein, and the Isle of Jersey. Jersey cows were developed out of Scotch Highland cows. And the Scotch Highland is a beef breed of cow. They give a little milk, but normally a cow only gives about a gallon of milk a day, which is a half a gallon twice a day for a calf, which is enough for the calf, but it doesn't leave anything left over for people. So when you're milking cows, you don't get very much milk. That's the bottom line. Also, some guy wakes up one day and he says, well, here's a cow that gives more milk than this cow over here. Let's breed this cow to this bull over here and see what we come up with. And so we come up with crossbreeding cows until pretty soon we come up with a strain of cow called a Jersey. This Jersey gives lots of cream, not so much milk, but it's a very rich milk. That's what I milk, are Jersey cows. Now, these Jersey cows aren't as tough as a Longhorn from Texas. There are certain breeds of animals that are tougher, stronger, more resilient than other breeds of cows. And the dairy breeds, which there's five major dairy breeds, three of which are still used, only one of which is used commercially, called the Holstein. And these Holsteins have been line bred now with Holstein to Holstein to Holstein until they've come down to cows that have bags that are as big as the cow. I mean, these cows have to waddle. They don't walk, they waddle. And that's good, because that's what dairymen want. They want more and more. And you people out there, you don't want butterfat anyway. You want skim milk. Now, here's a little something for you to keep in mind. The enzyme that you need in milk to digest the milk is in the cream. It's not in the milk. So when you people take your milk apart, aside from pasteurization and homogenization, when you take your milk apart and then you sell the skim milk, then you people drink skim milk, you get sick from it because you don't have the enzyme in it to start with. And number two, even if you have the enzyme in it, you're doing yourself a disservice, probably killing yourself because you haven't got the enzyme to digest it anyway. So this 1%, 2% in the skim milk crap is just that. What you really want is the butter fat. Now, you fat people out there say, well, I'm drinking skim milk because I don't want the calories, and the calories are in the fat. No, you got that wrong, boys and girls. You want the whole raw milk, because the whole raw milk can be digested. And the reason that you people are fat is because you're eating all these diet foods, and the diet foods are making you fat. If you think that artificial sugar is making you skinny, take a look at yourself again. And the more Diet Coke you drink, the fatter you get. And the less sugar that you're eating. You know, I'm not saying now that CNH, pure cane sugar, is good for you, because that refined sugar is called a simple carbohydrate. What you want are the complex carbohydrates, not the simples. Bottom line is that the diet food industry over here is selling you this diet food, and they've convinced you that by drinking this skim milk, you're going to get skinny. All you people drinking skinny milk are all fat. I drink whole raw milk, and I'm not fat. Now, put that one in your pipe and smoke it. So the bottom line is that when you take this milk apart, or when you drink this Holstein watery Blue John over here, you're doing yourself a disservice. So if you're drinking raw milk from Blue John cows, well, I don't know, you know, suit yourselves, but I wouldn't drink it. I think you'd be better off drinking Heineken beer than you would Blue John milk. So that's just my personal opinion. Now, if you want nutrition, then I suggest that you get milk that comes out of Jerseys and Guernseys. And if you have your own milk cow, I think you'd just be sitting in tall clover. If you want my personal opinion, I'd say you'd want your own Jersey milk cow. And you milk that cow, you know, as much milk as you want once a day if you're getting too much, and you milk her twice a day if you want to give her more, and then feed her alfalfa pellets to get her in a stanchion, and just give her grass, leave her out in the woods, and let her eat whatever she wants to eat, and you'll get the best product that God could design into the product to start with. Now, real feed for cows is green grass in spring, summer, and fall. Store dry hay, silage, hay, and root vegetables in winter. You do not feed cows soy meal, cottonseed meal, or other commercial feeds, nor is it bakery waste, chicken manure, or citrus peel cake laced with pesticides. Now, let me read that for you again, because here's what we're feeding our cows. We're feeding our cows chicken manure, citrus peel, and the citrus peel cake is laced with pesticides. We're also feeding them cottonseed meal and soy meal. Now, here's what we're giving them. We take the soybeans and we extract the oil, and what's left over is the meal. It's a waste byproduct from soybean oil production, cottonseed oil production. And so we have to have something to do with it. So somebody woke up one day, you know, some bright kid, you know, that went to college, came out of New York City, doesn't know one end of a cow from another, and said, well, look at this. So it's got protein in us. Feed it to cows. Now, no cow would eat that stuff unless you mix it up with something else and put it in something that they'll eat, and so they'll do that. And so they come up with these dairy rations, and it does produce more milk. I don't deny it. But it's bad feed, and it promotes the growth of E. coli and salmonella and other bad bugs in the cow's gut, which then, if it gets on the cow's meat, will, when you're making hamburger, kill you when you eat one of these undercooked hamburgers. So here's what we want to feed. Vital nutrients like vitamins A and D, and Price's Activator X, a fat-soluble catalyst that promotes optimum mineral assimilation, now believed to be in vitamin K or vitamin K2, are greatest in milk that come from cows eating green grass, especially rapidly growing green grass in the spring and fall. Vitamins A and D are greatly diminished, and Activator X disappears when milk cows are fed commercial feed. And get this, everybody knows it. Well, everybody that's in the business knows it. Hell, I knew that. That's why I reported to you that we dairymen do not drink the milk out of our own bulk tanks. As old as I am, I never met a dairyman yet that would drink the milk out of his own tank. Now, that ought to tell you a hell of a lot about whether or not this stuff is fit to drink or not. We produce it. We send it off to the creamery. The creamer sends us a check the 15th of every month. That's what we're in the business for. We're not here for health and nutrition, you know. We don't get paid for vitamins and minerals and health and nutrition. We get paid for gallons. Corn farmers don't get paid for nutrition. They get paid for bins and bushels. And that's what they produce, bins and bushels. They don't produce quality. Now, if you want quality, now you got to pay for that. Now, there's where Acres USA comes in and shines brightly. You take that $12,000 a year that you're spending on health insurance, or that fear factor that you're always living under, I don't have health insurance. If you eat good, nutritious food, you won't need health insurance. And you can take that $12,000 a year and spend it on food. But you're not going to get away with the $12,000 in your pocket. See, what you have in mind is, I don't want to pay the $12,000 for the health insurance, and I want to eat cheap food. Okay, now you're going to get sick, and you don't have health insurance. The other side of the coin is, you spend the money on the health insurance, and then sure enough, you'll get sick, and you'll get to collect on your insurance. That's not very profitable. Now, the third way to do this is you don't buy the health insurance. You take the $12,000, you spend it on good food, and now you don't get sick. Now, that's profitable. And that's because good food costs more money. Let the cheapskates get sick. It's a choice that people have to make. Let them grow up and live their lives. I would tell my wife that. I said, let the kid touch the stove. And I remember my dad, I was growing up, I had a little brother. And we had an Ashley wood stove in the living room. And so, the little kid's running over, and mother runs over. No, no, Jimmy, don't touch that stove. Hot, hot. No, no, Jimmy, don't touch that stove. So the little kid, he's about, I don't know, 18 months old. Hell, I don't think he's talking yet. Does this kid understand hot? No. Does he understand pain? Absolutely. So after about four or five fruitless attempts to keep this kid away from the stove, nothing short of putting a leash on him and tying him up to a post is going to keep him away from him. My dad said, leave him alone. He's going to run over, touch the stove, and burn his hand. And when he burns his hand, unless he's brain dead, he won't do it twice. Now, that's where the real world is located. That's where God, your creator, put you out here in an environment where you burn your hands. Did you learn anything from that, boy? I know it sounds kind of cruel, but that's the way life is. You're not going to learn heat and cold until you burn your hand. That's just where it's at. I can remember reading in Reader's Digest a story about a young boy that went out on a binge drinking expose or whatever the hell you want to call it. Here was a story on Reader's Digest, and the kid killed himself drinking too much booze, You get these religious people, and they get real excited, and they see a story like that, and they say, don't ever touch alcohol. We never touch alcohol in our home. Kent Hovind, he's a religious guy, says, alcohol has never touched my lips. Well, okay. And those are the kind of people that have these kind of tragedies. About, two or three times a year, there'll be a story in Reader's Digest about some kid, he's out binge drinking, and he drinks too much whiskey, and it kills him. And that's because they don't have instruction. First of all, God never told you not to drink alcohol, but he told you to drink it in moderation. Several times in the Bible, it tells you drink for your stomach's sake, and drink. Alcohol is good for you. Just drink it in moderation. Don't get too excited about drinking too much. And so my dad told me one time, he says, come on here, boy, let's teach you about drinking. So he sat me down and says, would you like to have a highball with me? I'm 12 years old, Sure, Dad, I'd like to have a highball with me. Poor drinking. Now, I don't know if you're like I am, but, whiskey's kind of the nasty taste and stuff, They say you got to have this acquired taste. So I'm drinking this whiskey highball with my dad over here. It really doesn't taste all that good. And so my dad explained to me, he said, now, you see this bottle of whiskey, son? Someday somebody's going to say to you, I'll bet you can't drink that whole bottle of whiskey. And you're going to sit there and say, well, I'll bet you I can. And so you're going to chug lug it down. You're going to drink that whole bottle of whiskey. And when you get through with it, you will die. You will not survive it. And I was 12 years old. I was horror-struck. I said, Dad, why do you drink this? What? And so he said, here's what happens. He explained how when you drink too much alcohol, shuts down your body organs over here. You can't breathe and you die. He said, a little bit's good for you, and a little bit too much probably feels real good, and then too much of it's bad for you. And then if you really drink way, way too much, it'll kill you. And so he explained to me moderation. So I picked right up on that. I'm still alive. I haven't drank myself to death yet. But here's my point. You see, people get it in their minds over here that something's bad. And because you get a bad result by getting burned on the stove doesn't mean that getting burned on the stove isn't good for you. You need to get burned on the stove so that you understand hot and cold can save your life someday. Somebody needs to explain to you about whiskey and binge drinking and drinking too much. Somebody needs to explain to you the difference between raw milk and pasteurized homogenized and raw milk so that you can make an intelligent decision. Somebody needed to come to you and say, look, let me explain to you where this bad bacteria called E. coli comes from. It comes from cottonseed cake. It comes from soybean cake. It comes from feeding cows bad feed that makes dirty milk, which has nothing to do with stainless steel and glass pipelines and sanitary conditions, which I don't doubt would be kind of nice. I mean, I don't like drinking milk with cow manure in it either. But the cow manure in the milk isn't going to kill you, isn't going to harm you, because the cow who is eating good organic raw feed doesn't have E. coli in her manure to start with. But you can rest assured that the cows that are eating the cottonseed cake and the soybean cake and then have E. coli in their guts, have E. coli in their manure. And when that manure gets into your feed, into your milk, that's harmful. That's why you need to pasteurize it. And then you know what pasteurization does, don't you? Yeah, I'm running out of time. I'm going to have to close off right there and remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. If you'd like more information, then please go to the homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing. Of course, so until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.